following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
You can't be predictable. That's number one. You cannot be predictable that everybody knows what you're going to do.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
All right, psychos. You don't even have to be that smart.
You don't even have to be that smart.
Well, I'm just saying, this is...
I'm in. Count me in.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Hey, did you get your walk in yesterday? No, I didn't have a snorkel.
For 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You should never use that kind of language in a public setting. That's all I can tell you.
You serious?
It's time for the Tri-City's number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
I'm feeling it. I need somebody to carry this team.
I'm feeling
all
it.
I'm doing is driving a cart.
Yeah, he's a man-child, but he isn't fully developed.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, need a vehicle, thinkmidway.com.
I don't know enough. I just know that, you know, why would you mess with those guys, you know?
He shows up every day, mighty. Who's tougher?
Well, that guy's about 6 years over his prime.
Get your resume dusted off.
The sand is falling out of Mr. Duda's shorts right now.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter with you on site today at the partially renovated UNK Health and Sports Center, where we get ready for our inaugural fall luncheon today with UNK, Kearney High, and Kearney Catholic coaches and athletes. That gets going at 12 noon, so come on down. About 11:45, they'll start serving lunch, and we'll hear from all the fall coaches between 12 and 1. We will be here for the next hour covering our football with Mark McLaughlin at Gibbon as they get the season underway tomorrow night. Our high school preview continues. Our first fantasy football segment of the season is coming your way with Luke Hoover. So email us, tweet us your questions for Luke as you get ready for your draft. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by the head volleyball coach at Nebraska, John Cook, always gracious with his time as they get ready to open up the season tomorrow night with Tulsa. Two more games coming up on Saturday with Pittsburgh and Grand Canyon. If you'd like to join us, all you have to do is shoot us a tweet at ESPN 1460-1550. You can always email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. And if you'd like to give us a buzz on the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776. But we are pleased to welcome in John Cook as they get ready for a 2015 volleyball season that I know everyone, including the team obviously, hopes will be playing in Omaha in the Final Four in December. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter welcoming in the coach. And Coach, good morning. You guys, you sounded very upbeat after the red-white game, and again in the press conference on Monday. Are you still upbeat today?
Maybe not as much. First week of school and some shaky practices, but I decided it's more fun to be upbeat than downbeat, so yeah, I'm upbeat. But hey, are you guys in the new rec center today? Are the volleyball coaches going to be there?
They should be. Coach Squires should be around with his knowledge. They're going to Alaska next weekend. You're just kind of staying at home, but your digs are okay too.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome that they built that out there, and it's going to be great for that area.
Well, Coach, let's talk about your ball club and tell us some of the reasons, kind of expand on it, listened a little bit to you on Sports Nightly again earlier this week. What stood out about that red-white game? Because let's face it, coaches like to push their team, and you're no different about looking at things that they need to improve on. But why were you so pleased on Saturday?
I just how competitive it was. I mean, we've got two very competitive sides that the level was really high. And typically in a red-white, you know, you got to get former players to come in or some other, you know, get some of your practice players to make it competitive, but we were able to put out two very competitive teams, and it was really good volleyball, and everybody got a chance to kind of do everything, serve, play back row, and play all the way around, and the middles got to serve. But anyway, very competitive, so I was impressed with the level of play. That was probably the biggest thing that stood out.
Coach, on Monday you said that there was going to be a real battle for who's going to be in the middle for you, and you weren't really committing at all on Monday. Obviously, we're a little bit closer to the first match, so how is that race shaking out?
You know, we got one more practice to go, so, you know, I tell our players that, you know, one of the things is that their job is to earn the coach's trust, and that we, you know, when we put them in there, we know they're going to get it done. And one of the ways they do that is by being consistent in practice day after day after day. So, we'll make our final decisions after today's practice, but, you know, they've gotten after it this week. The middles have all battled. We put them in situations where they've had to battle, and we stat them, and same with the outside hitters. And one thing that also I've really noticed is Justine, who was on, we had her set in the red-white match, you know, her presence on our court is really noticeable when she's over there, and it's really noticeable when she's not over there. So we've been getting her back in the mix as well, and she's gone to another level as a player. So I'm really excited about what she can do this year as well.
We're chatting with Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. And you mentioned as you worked them more this week, you were going to implement the trash can drill. Explain to the fans what that is.
I love it. Well, the trash can drill is the infamous trash can drill, and our players all know it, and they love and hate it. But essentially, let's you guys are football guys. This is the equivalent of the Oklahoma drill for volleyball. So let's just put it at that. And what it is, the reason it got its name is a hitter has to go into a very, very tough situation, and they don't get out of it until they win the drill. And so if they got to go over again and again and again, they keep going until they win the drill. And we make it really hard on them. In fact, it's usually one. They have to hit against three blockers and four diggers. So it's one against seven. So, and we score it, and there are many games, and we score it, and they keep going. Well, the way it got the trash can drill, the first time we did it, Lindsay Light, who played back in 2008, took her a long time to finally win it. And eventually what happens is a player decides, okay, I've got to find a way to do this because I'm never going to survive it. Well, the trash can name came in. After she finally won it, after about 20 minutes, she ran over to the trash can, and that's how it got the trash can drill. She didn't run over there to throw her tape in the trash can. Let's put that.
Well, that's a great thing. One of the players that you've had the most praise for is Justine as your libero. Talk a little bit about all the things that she, obviously a lot of experience there, but a lot of things. She kind of quarterbacks your team from a position where normally it doesn't get quarterbacked from.
Yeah. You know, she was a former setter who we moved to libero, which is, we've done that with Caleb Anworth. We did that with Danny Busboom. And so it takes them a while to get it. But now she's going into her junior year. She got to go with the Big Ten team to Europe this summer, and she came back with a ton of confidence. So not only does she exude that confidence with her teammates and out there, but she, I tell our team every day, I said, did you guys just see that play by Justine? She was calling it out before it even happened. It's almost like she has a sixth sense that she knows what's going to happen before it happens. And she just does amazing plays like that every day.
John Cook with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Nebraska will play Tulsa tomorrow, Grand Canyon and Pittsburgh on Saturday. Coach, none of them are nationally ranked. You'll get to see that with Texas and Oregon the following weekend. What about this opening weekend, not tournament, but just action there in Lincoln?
Yeah, it's always, this is going to be a great tournament. The first weekend, you know, everybody's just trying to figure out their lineups and get people going. And, you know, so it's always wild the first weekend. And these teams are coming in here. Tulsa is assistant coach by Megan Pendergrass, who's a former player at Nebraska. She's an assistant coach there, just doing a great job. And they're going to be really pumped up to play us. And then Grand Canyon is a school. We've been there three times for beach volleyball. And so they wanted to come here indoor, and then we're going to return there next year. But they've just kind of gone Division One, and it's an up-and-coming program and great school in Phoenix. It's it's grown like crazy. It's, I think it's got to be the fastest growing university in the country. So they're, you know, this will be a new experience for them, I think. You know, when we get to return there next year, and then also then Pittsburgh, who's a very good team, they're in great conference, and their coach Dan Fisher just was the head coach of the Pan Am team that won the gold medal this summer, and so it's a very up and coming program, and so it's going to be it's the first weekend's always wild and exciting, and until teams can kind of get going in a rhythm, and this should be a really fun tournament.
I think one of the things people are going to notice when they first walk in before your first match is going to be the new video board. You know, the Devaney Center over the last few years, still a relatively new venue, but it seems like they're always making improvements. For the things that you want to get done in terms of recruiting and getting into the national championship, into the Final Four, how important are those kind of amenities for you getting done, the things that you want to get done?
Well, I think really what we're saying here is that volleyball is important here. And the fact that we redid Devaney, we put in a video board, new sound system, that there's a commitment here to our fans to have a great fan experience, and I think that's what Sean's all about is, you know, making sure that our fans have a great experience besides enjoying a Husker team. So if you look at our facilities, I mean, we got to be at the top of the list in the country for facilities. But I think the main thing is that we wanted to get as many people in here as we can, and that's one of the reasons we moved to Devaney. And two, we want to make it a great experience. And three, volleyball is important here, and that's why Nebraska's committed to it, and that's why the Final Four is coming to Omaha for the third time in 10 years. You know, we get to host a lot of NCAA events here because it's so well supported, and the teams have such great experiences here with all of our facilities and how the people are, you know, they're treated by the fans here and people in town, and so a lot of positives going our way, and it's pretty much noticeable by everybody in the country.
A couple moments left here with Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook before he gets back to work on tomorrow's opener. One of the girls from our area, Tiani Reeves, you're going to go ahead and redshirt her. Just tell us a little bit about what you've seen from her in fall camp and that decision.
Tiani's been the most improved player in the first 2 weeks. It's been amazing how much she's improved, you know, and that's typically what happens. You get a good athlete in with other good athletes, and they watch and they learn and they figure it out, and then they just, you know, start blossoming. And, Tiani has not had a lot of experience and outside of high school volleyball. And so she touched 10-4 in our testing and after lifting this summer, and she's got a fast arm, and she just needs experience and time right now. She's gotten off to a really, really good start. I mean, I didn't even think I could put her into drills, and she's now really worked her way and is doing a lot, and improvement's been incredible.
And, John, a lot of people will always know the offensive and defensive coordinators and assistant coaches for the football team, which is referenced in your press conference quite often, but you've got Chris and Jen coming in as your new assistants. What do they bring to the table?
Well, both of them have, you know, international playing experience, Olympic playing experience, and their young family. Jen just had a baby, that's why she stopped playing. So they've got, you know, they're great role models. They're well experienced. They've played at the highest level. They love coaching. This is a move. I mean, I think they understand Nebraska volleyball and the respect. Honor, you know, to coach here and what a great opportunity is. And, you know, so I just think it was a really good fit for them and where they are in their lives right now. And they've done an awesome job.
John, we'll wrap it up with this. You are asked about it every time you sit down, and it's probably something that's going to hang there all year, but Final Four, as you said, in Omaha, at what point do you guys quit talking about it? Or is that something that's in the locker room every single day?
It's around. We can't avoid it, so we embrace it, and we know that opportunity is there. But what I do is I channel our focus onto, you know, if we even want to think about that, here's what we got to get done today. And we got to continue to improve, and we got to work on things. And you know, I got to keep them in the day-to-day process of working towards that. And, you know, and the bottom line is we got to put ourselves in a position throughout the season, and then have that confidence, and we get to that point, you know, we got a realistic shot to get there. And so my job is to keep them focused day to day in the moment, And all you guys and everybody can talk about Omaha, but it's around us, and that's why we embrace it. But, you know, I also told our team, listen, I didn't think we were good enough to get there. I wouldn't even talk about it. So, you know, there's some confidence that comes with knowing, you know, we got a shot to get there.
Well, the fans are going to be there. The team just as well be as well. So, John, we always appreciate your time on the Doug and Daddy Show. You're generous with it, and we'll talk again later in the season. Best of luck the first couple of weekends here. Thanks for the time.
Okay. Shout out all the coaches for me today at the luncheon. That sounds awesome.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Coach.
Okay.
John Cook.
Thanks, you guys.
Nebraska volleyball coach. Joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Tulsa tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, and then Grand Canyon coming your way to noon on Saturday. So best of luck there to the Nebraska volleyball team. We are here at the UNK Sports Center getting ready for the Loper Lunch and the first one of the fall and the first one of the winter. Always incorporate Kearney High and Kearney Catholic coaches and students, so they will be here as well. Stop down, get a great lunch from Runza for a minimal fee, and then enjoy the preview of the upcoming season, which is going to be here for some of them already, and some of them tomorrow, and some of them next week. So come on up to the UNK Health and Sports Center.
The Huskers are playing the Lopers in volleyball this weekend. It's just a different set of Lopers from Grand Canyon State. Just a little bit different atmosphere.
Are they the only other ones?
Yeah, they are. Those are the only two. And again, you know, back in 1978, very famously, the farthest that the men's basketball team ever went was playing for the NAI National Championship, and the Lopers lost to the Lopers at Grand Canyon State back in 78.
So there's your trivia for the day, and hopefully Al Zickman will be here again today for a few more trivia bites today. I'll say it today when we have the lunch, but for anybody, even if you know Al, go to Huskers.com and search his name. There's a great 10-11 minute video recapping some of the stuff you see on NET, but it's recapping the 41 Rose Bowl and just that game, the trip back, that event. It's about 11 minutes. It's well worth it. And Al's a big part of that as well. We are here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Wherever we go, Midway gets us there. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Make sure when you're traveling to your sporting events this fall and winter that you do it in a very reliable vehicle from your Midway auto dealers. The Chevy Summer Bonus Tag event runs out at the end of the month. Don't forget to get your tag and choose your deal. You can get 0% APR and an additional $1,000 purchase cash or an additional $500 lease bonus cash on select vehicles. You choose the deal that fits your need. If you're looking for a Dodge, slide on out or to get a 1.9% for 60 months and $1,000 bonus cash on select 15 Darts, and they save you gas mileage, 41 highway miles to the gallon. Many more great deals. You can check them out at thinkmidway.com or visit the fine folks at the Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. When we come back, we've got a few other sports notes that we're going to talk about. We'll talk a little UNK athletics. Then Mark McLaughlin, head football coach at Gibbon, will be joining us, and Luke Hoover from RotoWire to start our fantasy football segment brought to you by Fanatics, and we'll have a fantasy giveaways again this year, and we'll tell you more about that. But if you've got a fantasy question for Luke as you prepare for your draft, or maybe you've already drafted Jordy Nelson or somebody like that, if you've got a question, email it, tweet it, and we will get it to Luke. We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center. Nebraska weather is so unpredictable. Don't be left out in the storm with hail dents or even door dings. When your car plays the star in the episode of Nebraska Severe Weather, see the professionals at Dent Popper in Kearney to save you. Dent Popper can remove minor hail damage, door dings, and other minor dents without damaging the original paint. Joel, Scott, and the guys at Dent Popper know how important your vehicle is to you, and keeping it looking nice is what they do. Stop into Dent Popper today, just south of the library on First Avenue in Kearney.
ESPN ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see partial sun and some cloudiness across the area through the day today with a chance for a few storms, especially late with a high in the mid-80s. Tonight, there's a chance for scattered storms and a low of 63. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now, 77.
Doug and Daddy Show rolling along on a Thursday, the final Thursday in August. Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter live at the UNK Health and Sports Center, where the annual fall lunch, now there's Loper lunches every other week, but the fall lunch includes Kearney Catholic and Kearney High athletes. We will be covering both of their football teams tomorrow night. Kearney Catholic's at Ord here on ESPN 1460. Kearney High will host Grand Island on Classic Hits 98.9. Our pregames are at 6:30, kickoff at 7. We will have the Garing-Hastings game at 8 on ESPN 1550 and the Adams Central Northwest game on 1230 KHAS. Again, you can follow along, listen live, listen to the podcast after the game on our website at PlatteRiverPreps.com. And don't forget the CPI Mr. Tire Scoreboard Show on 1230 KHAS and Classic Hits 98.9 every Friday night after our football games hosted by Merritt Lawson.
Yeah, and that is a great opportunity to talk everything and all sorts of summaries of the games that we've done, as well as talking to the coaches, and Bob Jensen usually gives us a nice buzz too.
And our Lopers, we talked cross-country yesterday with head coach Brady Bonzel. The UNK men are the preseason favorites in the NIAA. The women have been picked sixth. Last fall, UNK was nationally ranked on the men's side for multiple weeks, and as Coach Bonzel said, everything that could have went wrong in the regionals went wrong for them, but they are the favorites. And again, they begin the year September 4th at Northwest Missouri State. So all these preseason polls continue to roll along. Well, tomorrow night, high school football for the Gibbon Buffaloes, as they will get their season underway, traveling up to St. Paul, a team that had been way down a couple of years ago, and they're starting to get things together again. And Baird and Bridgeport come out to Gibbon this year, so they'll save on gas mileage. And the head coach of the Gibbon Buffaloes joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, Mark McLaughlin, off of a playoff appearance last year. And Mark, good morning. How are things in Buffalo land?
Things are pretty well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you on. And again, congratulations on what you and your staff have built there at Gibbon. And I know you guys are pretty excited. Your preseason selected to win the district, according to Huskerland Prep, and you've got seven starters back on both sides of the ball. Is this, on paper, maybe the most comfortable that you felt going into a season?
Yeah, we have a lot back, and we had a couple kids move into the district. Either, you know, they moved residences or they transferred in, so that's been nice. We're also about as injured as we've ever been going into our first week, so that's not as good as we'd like. But I mean, top to bottom, we've got some size, we've got quite a bit of speed, and hopefully when we get healthy we'll get our depth back. Right now we're kind of thin with some kids on the shelf, but things are looking okay. Yeah.
Well, Coach, also with an eye on the fact that you have some injured players out there, talk a little bit about your offensive, defensive lines, the guys that are going to be able to step through there. Because you mentioned you had size. That's going to be one of the attributes of your team. Talk about the guys up front.
Our offensive line will average about 260 pounds a kid. Obviously, there's some that are over, some that are under. Friday night, we'll be without one of our 280-pounders. So we're going to end up going with a younger kid, a lighter kid. But he's a senior. He's been in the system for a while. But obviously, the kid that gets the most publicity up front is Ozzie Rodriguez. He's a returning All-State offensive lineman, and he goes about 270. And then we've got two or three kids that are 265 to 270 that kind of mix in there. And then we also have a 250-pounder, and then the kid that's going to go at center on Friday is 170, Josh Mason. So he's undersized compared to everybody else. But top to bottom, you know, they're pretty thick.
We're talking with Mark McLaughlin, the head football coach at Gibbon. They'll travel up to St. Paul for the season opener. 8-2 last year. We talked with Sutton yesterday. Gibbon also got a really rough draw and had to play Aquinas right out of the gate last year in the playoffs, and they went on and won the state title. So obviously a goal is not only to get to the playoffs, but to pick up a win. Is that first on the board, or are there other things ahead of that?
Well, honestly, you know, everybody on our team wants to go back, and we obviously want to win a game. But in my opinion, the biggest reason we didn't win a game in the first round of the playoffs last year is because we didn't do ourselves any favors in terms of getting a good draw. And, you know, we were 8-1, and we were the 12th seed, I think, and had to go play Aquinas. Well, we lost to a team that had two wins. So when you lose to a team like, you know, one of those lower tier teams in terms of the wild card standings, they divide them up into four tiers. And the team we lost to was a level four team. So we got 0 power points pretty much for playing them. And that kills you when the playoff bracket comes out. So it really just goes back to the old cliche. You got to take things one game at a time. And if you start looking ahead, then maybe you get beat by a team that you probably shouldn't get beat by. And then that'll come back later when the playoff bracket comes out. And maybe instead of being the 8 or the 9 seed, last year we would have been the 8 seed if we would have gone 9-0. You get end up as a 12 seed and have to go to the David City Aquinas and play a team that's been in the finals 4 years in a row.
Well, Coach, as you say, don't look ahead. So that's a perfect time for me to ask about your schedule overall. taking a look at, you are the favorite in your district. Just talk a little bit about the non-conference opponents you play. Obviously, it's one game at a time, but just overall how you kind of see your schedule, especially since two of the opponents farthest away, they're going to come to your place.
Well, home and away has never really mattered to us, and I know that probably sounds odd, but in my time in Gibbon, we've traveled to Lincoln Lutheran, we've traveled to Ainsworth 3 times, we've gone to Bayard, we've gone to Bridgeport, we've gone to Norfolk to play Norfolk Catholic. We've been all over the state, and you know, typically we do pretty well. Obviously, we got beat by Norfolk Catholic, but we went out to Bayard last year and beat them. We went out to Bridgeport last year and beat them, and I think when people talk about, oh, the bus ride this, and we had to go on the road there, blah, blah, I think that's just a bunch of excuses. So we don't care about the home and away, and we know that when Bayard and Bridgeport come here, they're going to come ready to play. Nobody's going to ride a bus 5 hours to forfeit. So first we got to play St. Paul, and St. Paul I think will be a lot better than they were last year. They've got some returning linemen. And they've got a playmaker on offense who, by the way, has already promised 20 yards a carry against us Friday night. So we'll see how that goes. And then Bayard and Bridgeport are huge. I mean, they put something in the water out there because last year both teams had a running back that was over 6'3 and over 220. And I know Bridgeport's is back. So Bayard's got two 300-pound linemen, I think. And then we got to go to Cambridge, and Cambridge is the team that beat us last year. We got caught looking ahead, and you know, all they do in Cambridge is win. It's in the water. It's tradition there. So we know when we go down to Cambridge this year. Plus, Coach Porter's left Blue Hill and went down there. So Cambridge will be ready to play ball.
A couple minutes left here with the head football coach at Gibbon, Mark McLaughlin. You talked a little bit about the transfers. Obviously, one of the big losses for your team from last year was at running back, but Tanner Gideon slides over from Wood River, and he was a good back there. You've got Vinny Pearson. What's your plan here for the young men in the backfield?
Jacob Tracy, a sophomore, he's returning from last year. He's going to be the starter, and we're gonna do a back by committee kind of deal where Tracy is the fastest kid on our team, and he runs about probably as hard as everyone, or harder than everyone. Tanner's got great vision, and I was kind of worried about that when he came over. Was our offense and Wood River's offense are a lot different. We zone block everything, and they man block everything. So, you know, we don't tell Tanner you're going through the four hole. We call a zone play, and it might end up all the way on the backside. So he's picked that up really well. So those two will take most of the carries. And then Vinny will take some. And then we have another kid named Gerardo Raimundo that's a sophomore, and he'll take some. So we'll kind of have four guys going through there. But the bulk of the carries will go through Tracy and Gideon.
Coach, you kind of talked a little bit about the tradition at Cambridge. Well, there's a tradition developing in Gibbon. These seniors know nothing except being in the state playoffs, making it 4 years in a row. Ozzie Rodriguez, who you mentioned earlier, is a senior. It just seems to me there's a lot of leadership. There's a lot of expectations. Just kind of talk a little bit about what that senior class and everything that they've done with the program so far, how that translates to how you guys are going to perform on the field.
It's really humbling, you know, to kind of think back to 7 or 8 years ago when we're just getting drilled by people 56 to nothing, you know, running clock to start the second half. And now sometimes the roles are reversed, and that's pretty awesome. And a lot of that goes back to the class of 2010, well, graduating in 2011, but the 2010 senior class. We had some kids in that class, Chad Hartman, Kiefer Michael, Burke Linneman, some of those guys. They kind of changed the culture of our program, and they made the weight room a priority, and it stuck. And some of those kids are still around. They still live in town, and they still stop into the weight room. Some of them have little brothers that are playing right now. So that's kind of been the biggest thing is in terms of changing the culture and starting a tradition. And like you said, we've been to the playoffs the last 3 years. But what I'm most impressed with this senior class is that they're not satisfied with getting to the playoffs. Yeah, we've been there three times, but we haven't won. We haven't won a playoff game since 89. So these guys are right now, we're not talking about winning a district title. We're not talking about winning a playoff game. We're talking about winning one game at a time. And they understand that the process, if you win one game at a time and we can go 9-0 or we can go 8-1, then it shapes up for us to maybe get that first playoff win in 26 years.
Well, it'll be a pleasure to watch Gibbon play football again this year, and we'll get a chance to catch up with Coach later on in the season. It all starts at St. Paul tomorrow. And, Mark, again, great job by you and your crew, and keep everybody in line, and let's stack up a few W's.
Appreciate your help, or appreciate your coverage of our team and our athletes. So much appreciated, so thank you.
Take care. Thanks,
luck, Mark.
Mark McLaughlin, yep. Football coach at Gibbon, and I will have to say, and this is talked about on a variety of levels, pro, college, high school, that staff was very close to being on the way out the door over there, and They were given the proper amount of time, and this is one of those cases where we have seen excellent turnaround from the Gibbon Buffaloes, and it's fun to watch a dynasty, and it's fun to watch those. I mean, I've said it for years, it's cyclical. Very few teams around can have runs. I mean, we all remember Cambridge. Well, so they had a down year last year.
And Gibbon had a nice run. They played for two straight state titles a generation ago. Yeah. We'll do a little math here. A generation ago, a lot of the young men out there had dads that that played in the state playoffs, won games, made it to the finals. And obviously, there's a lot of families that didn't experience that. But again, it happens in a cycle, and it's the next generation. It's time for these young men, and I think they've got a great opportunity. It's time for them to kind of put their stamp on the program and kind of create a little bit of history of their own.
Well, it should be a beautiful weekend, folks. If you get a chance, head on out to Prairie Hills and check out Prairie Hills Golf Club. Justin Kosmicki and his staff dramatically have improved the course throughout the summer and as we head into the fall. And it's only $30 for 18 holes and a cart on weekends. Better deals during the weekday, and you can check those out on their Facebook page at Prairie Hills Golf Club. Or you can give them a call, stop on out, enjoy their improved menu. So go on out if you're playing 18 and you're piggybacking over lunch or an evening meal or just saying, I got to straight from work. Well, they got a good menu. They'll get you set up on your way out to the golf course. Improved greens, great rates, only 10 minutes north of Kearney. 388-5115, 388-5115. Call for tee times and their daily specials at Prairie Hills Golf Club.
The great opportunity this weekend. I mean, there's not a lot of college football on Saturday, or the NFL teams aren't playing on Sunday, so a good opportunity. Gets best time of the year to golf anyway. Because your game is probably a little bit better.
Golf and then go to your fantasy draft.
Absolutely.
Do
the fantasy draft out there. They got plenty of room for that.
Your wife / husband / boyfriend / girlfriend is going to be mad at you anyway, so you just as well.
Because you're slashing them.
You just as well use it all at once. We are here at the UNK Health and Sports Center for the Loper Lunch, and today it's involving not only UNK but Kearney High and Kearney Catholic. Some of the coaches and athletes have already arrived. Lunch is being served here by Runza for a small fee. You can have a great lunch from Runza, settle in, and then right about noon, the UNK Kearney High and Kearney Catholic coaches will be chatting about their upcoming season.
Only $5 for a meal, and then you get a floor show. You know, it comes with all the information you want of every team that calls the city of Kearney home.
We'll take a break and be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show, including Luke Hoover of RotoWire, to answer all of your fantasy football questions. If you've got a few, email them or tweet them to us, and we'll pass them along, and we'll be right back.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service from seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Protein Design.
At John Deere, we know you wouldn't buy a car without taking it for a spin. And it's, well, just a car. So you'll definitely want to get behind the wheel and test drive the brand new John Deere S240 Sport, equipped with a powerful V-twin engine and heavy-duty hydrostatic transmission. Available exclusively at your local John Deere dealer.
Find your full line of John Deere products at Oregon Trail Equipment, with locations in Hastings, Fairfield, Hebron, Red Cloud, Superior, and Marysville, Kansas.
Crazy Burn is the latest, hottest weight loss product exclusively being sold at the Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. Are you looking to get fit and slim down for summer? Crazy Burn has ephedra effects, resulting in more energy, appetite suppression, and amazing weight loss. Start working on that beach body today. Don't go mad hoping for something to work. Get crazy with Crazy Burn and start getting results today. Available exclusively at your Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, the Kearney GNC in the Hilltop Mall, and the Grand Island GNC in the Conestoga Mall.
The 2015 Oregon Trail Rodeo takes place at the Adams County Fairgrounds with performances on August 28th, 29th, and 30th. Dance to Whiskey Vent on Saturday night starting at 9:30, and on Sunday enjoy a free barbecue for all ticket holders from 3 to 5 p.m. The rodeo starts at 7 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 5 p.m. on Sunday. General admission tickets are only $10 each. For tickets or for more information, log on to AdamsCountyFairgrounds.com or call 888-462-3247.
Oh no, my pop went everywhere.
You know what doesn't explode when you open it?
What?
Water. You know what isn't full of empty calories and sugar?
No. What?
Water. You know the best way to hydrate?
Water?
Exactly. When you're feeling tired in the middle of the day, you don't need a sugar rush to wake up. You're probably just dehydrated. Water is the answer. Rethink your drink and choose water.
This message was brought to you by Activate Buffalo County and Buffalo County Community Partners.
It's been a long day, and your car is on E. Ugh. Okay, I'll go to Fast Fills, because when I walk in, I know that I will be greeted with a fresh brewed tea or coffee and a smile. A good joke, and sometimes a bad one, but the point is, they remember their customers and treat them like friends. So all of a sudden, filling up is something you look forward to. Fast Fills Plaza, your Senex station, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Fill your tank with Senex gasoline and fill your tummy with all your favorite munchies.
Oh, you don't know.
Duda Randy Bushcutter, our producer engineer, Caleb Henry. Glad to be along with you here at the UNK Health and Sports Center, part of the Doug and Daddy Show, getting ready for the fall luncheon. Good crowd on hand, but room for you. Come out, grab lunch from Renza, and get the fall preview of UNK, Kearney Catholic, and Kearney High activities, football, volleyball, of course, cross country, and tennis and golf and all the things that are going to be going on. So come on out. That runs from 12 to 1. And coming up in just a couple of minutes, Luke Hoover. But first, our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday, will Michael Vick start any games for the Steelers this season? I said no, because I think once Gradkowski comes back, because it doesn't sound like it's that serious of an injury, but it
only
is an injury. So I think he'll still be two. And who knows? If Vick shines, you know, he has glimpses of being great, but I don't think for a season anymore.
He's all or nothing. I mean, and again, the only time he's going to step on the field is if something happens to Roethlisberger or mop-up situation. And I just don't think that he'll ever be good enough to edge out Big Ben.
Oh,
because
no.
Because they really earned it. So there's got to be that injury to him. And then he's just all or nothing. I mean, he's either phenomenal and really, really on, or he gets slowed down a little bit. And his physical tools don't allow him to shine the way he needs to because, again, he'll throw the ball in some positions where he shouldn't, doesn't have the arm for that anymore. He just needs to use his athleticism to get out there. He's certainly a serviceable backup quarterback, but that's really all he is.
78% of our cooler question votes say no, he will not start. 22% say yes. Usain Bolt wins the 200 at the World Championships today. And our question today is, after sweeping the 100 and 200-meter sprints at the World Championships in Beijing, is Usain Bolt the favorite to defend the sprints at Rio 2016? And again, this is all how you take it. Yeah, he's going to be the favorite. Will he win? That's the more intriguing question, because you've got about a year for someone else to emerge on the scene. And the deal with the 100 and the 200, it's all got to be precise. You got to get out of the blocks. And he has had just that little room that he can air, and he doesn't have to be because he's so quick.
What was he? He won one of the races by what? 1/100th of a second? Did I see that right? I think it might have been the prelims or the heat or whatever, but he won by 1/100th of a second, which goes right to your point. That is the smallest little minute little thing, you know, eating bad food the night before could slow you down just that much. And so it actually has to be perfect. But if you're going to say who's the odds-on favorite, I think it's Bolt. Absolutely.
I'll vote yes as well. You can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. The high school football season in Nebraska officially begins tonight, and a couple of marquee games. The state champions in Class A from Omaha North will open with Millard West. They've been in the state championship the last 3 years, winning it twice. And then the refurbished Seacrest Field in Lincoln will have Lincoln High and Lincoln Northeast will be there next week when Kearney High takes on Lincoln Southwest. But right now, it's time for the 2015 debut of our fantasy football chat with Luke Hoover of RotoWire, brought to you by Fanatics. There's a lot of places to go for the game, but there's only one place for Fanatics. Follow the Huskers, all of your favorite college football and NFL, on one or more of their 30-plus high-definition televisions, including two huge HD projection TVs. And there's always great deals on Husker Punch after the Big Red score during the game. At Fanatics, and Doug Duda, Randy Bushcutter, Luke Hoover of RotoWire. Luke, happy, happy football season. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you guys for having me back on again.
Well, the knowledge is pretty much right on. I mean, you know, we couldn't find anybody better. I mean, you've been solid, and our fans from RotoWire, and they love it, getting to it. And heard some people already had their draft. I will say this. For the first time, I'm in three of them, and because of the way things go, I will have two of them on the same day. Not overlapping where I have to pay, but they're two drafts, same day, different formats. How does a guy approach that? Because I think I'm anticipating getting into a funk or drafting the exact same team, and I don't want to do that.
You know, I've done that before too, and you can, you know, go about it a couple different ways. You know, I hear that you don't want to draft the exact same team, but having a few guys, you know, line up isn't necessarily a bad thing. You know, the worst case is sometimes you wind up rooting against yourself and for yourself the same week when your teams have a lot of different players. So I have a lot of overlap typically between rosters. It depends on the format as well. If one's PPR versus, you know, a standard league, obviously you're going to draft them a little bit differently and bump up receivers and running backs that are going to catch a high volume of passes in that PPR format. But, you know, just use that first one as a warm-up, I would recommend. And, you know, don't be afraid to reach a little bit on a guy you really want, you know, the second time around if you see he goes higher in that first draft.
Luke, I want to talk a little philosophy. And there's different ways of kind of prioritizing your players at every position. And then deciding if you're drafting a quarterback or running back, you know, whatever. How do you kind of approach that? I mean, you're always looking for value, but how do you kind of figure out value? Is there a position you kind of say that there's a gap between the top five quarterbacks, top five running backs? Philosophically, how do you kind of approach that?
Well, a lot of it has to do with your draft position, you know, where you're at in that first round, because the absolute elite running backs are, you know, the scarcity of those players is, you know, worse than ever probably. And, you know, after the top five to seven or so, everything starts to get a little dicey at that position. But, you know, given the lack of depth at the position and the amount of committees, you know, around the league, I feel like in the first round, you really do need to get that safe running back. You know, unless you're approaching that second half of that first round, you know, it's hard to, you know, to knock someone if they don't go with it, or if they go with a receiver like an Antonio Brown, a Dez Bryant, a guy that you know is going to produce, it's a sure thing. You know, again, that plays into the format. If it's a PPR format, that changes things a little bit. I've always been of the belief that, especially in larger leagues, 12 teams or larger, you have to have an elite quarterback to give yourself the best odds of making that playoff push. But I'm buying into the idea this year that without Andrew Luck or Aaron Rodgers, who you're going to have to get in the first two rounds, you might as well just sit and wait. There are a lot of good quarterbacks this year with upside. I particularly like Ryan Tannehill, a guy like Carson Palmer, who you can get really late. You know, even Eli Manning, who I like as a big sleeper this year. These are guys that are going to produce and have top 10 upside that you can wait on and really stock up on those running backs and get a couple of elite receivers high up in the draft.
Talk with Luke Hoover of RotoWire here on the Doug and Daddy Show. This comes from Matt in Kearney. Is Tom Brady still a number one quarterback?
I would say so. I think so, definitely. I mean, because you're talking about a league, probably 10 or 12 teams. Is he a top 10 quarterback? Absolutely. You know, I actually drafted him as my number one quarterback in the league, waited a few extra rounds and got Eli Manning to, you know, make sure I'm covered for those first 4 weeks, assuming the suspension holds and he misses the four games to start the year. But I think he's going to come back with a vengeance. You know, it's a little concerning that a guy like Brandon LaFell is banged up right now. You know, Julian Edelman is dealing with a little bit of an injury. Those things will play out, and by the time Brady's in the lineup, you know, he's going to be looking to prove a point this year.
What do you recommend in terms of how much research you do, what sources you look at for that research to kind of get yourself ready for the draft?
Well, you can look at a lot of different things. I'm the type of guy that I want to see the player, you know, on the field. I definitely, the eye test is most valuable to me personally, but you can look at statistics. I mean, if you're looking at a wide receiver, you can look at things like targets, you know, from previous years, you know, if there was a, you know, movement within that roster, say, you know, one of the top receivers left. You know, a good example is, you know, San Diego for one. I really like Stevie Johnson as a sleeper this year, you know, in large part because Eddie Royal is now out of town, took about 90 targets with him. And the, you know, a guy like Antonio Gates is going to start the year with a suspension. I think Steve Johnson slots in as a number two receiver in that offense behind Keenan Allen. You know, and there's lots of examples like that throughout the league. But, you know, obviously make sure you pay attention to roster movement with that said. But again, you know, for me, it's the eye test, you know, previous performance in terms of statistics. But you also want to pay attention to ADP. You know, a lot of different sites will put out their average draft position. And that'll help to tell you where do you need to select somebody. to really get the right value out of them rather than reaching or waiting too long and missing on a guy you really like.
We're talking with Luke Hoover here for another couple of minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show from RotoWire Fantasy Football every Thursday. You can sign up to play our Doug and Daddy Fantasy Fanatics Football at ESPNSuperstation.com. It's free weekly winners, so if you're gone or forget to put your team in 1 week, that's not going to kill you. There's a lot of ways to play. I think you may have answered this already, but Luke, this comes from John in Kearney. He says, in a 16-team one keeper league, and his keeper is Jamal Charles, how early is okay to grab a quarterback?
Well, in that case, I would probably see what's happening throughout the draft, because in a league that big, you might have some people or a lot of owners with the same mindset of they want to grab a guy in like the middle rounds and not miss a particular player, and there may be a run of quarterbacks. If that starts and there's a guy you want, you should probably just take him. You know, but otherwise, you can sit tight and draft a couple, you know, solid guys, like, you know, pair maybe a Ryan Tannehill, who you could probably get as the 10th, maybe 12th quarterback off the board, with a guy a little bit later like Carson Palmer, but maybe like a Sam Bradford, who certainly has top 10 upside in the Eagles offense, maybe even Andy Dalton, who seems to be getting quite overlooked this year despite, you know, the weapons that are returning to his team. You can definitely wait, but again, to be really competitive, I would completely be okay with taking an Andrew Luck or an Aaron Rodgers in the first or second round. But again, look at the format. If it's 4 points for a passing touchdown, maybe you want a guy who runs the ball a little bit more, maybe get Cam Newton a little later, something like that. So definitely consider the scoring. I actually drafted a league in July where quarterbacks only get 3 points for passing touchdowns. So I waited, pretty much till the end of the draft to take my quarterback in that case.
Luke, you mentioned wanting to use the eye test in terms of trying to figure out who you draft. Obviously, rookies, you're going to have less material because you didn't get a chance to watch them last year. How do you value rookies? Because they are kind of somewhat of a wild card. What is your approach in terms of when and where to draft a rookie?
They've never scared me off in years past. I mean, obviously, rookie running backs, you know sometimes when they're going to get the football, when they're drafted to step into that feature back role, like a guy like Melvin Gordon and T.J. Yeldon in Jacksonville. These are guys that are going to get the football. So you have to consider volume, obviously, as well. Receivers are a little bit harder to gauge at times, but after last year's crop, it showed you they're more ready, pro-ready than ever. The way that they go through camps growing up, seven-on-sevens and, all these different passing camps, receivers are prepared. They're more, their routes are a little bit better. They're more technically sound coming into the league. So you can take a chance on guys like that. And Amari Cooper, to give you an example, who's as ready as can be at the professional level, coming out of Alabama, you could take him in the fourth or fifth round, even conceivably, as a number two receiver this year. He's just probably going to get that many targets. Beyond him this season, I don't see a lot of rookie receivers that jump off the page. Guys like Devin Funchess might have a big opportunity now with Kelvin Benjamin getting hurt. A guy like Jaylen Strong could play a big role for Houston with a limited run game there. But those are guys you're going to wait on and take late. Again, I trust the eye test there and would go from there. That's why you're going to see a guy like Amir Abdullah jumps off the page. People are going to reach for him and probably take him as a number two running back. Personally, I'd wait a little bit on someone like that.
All right, Luke, we'll do it again next Thursday and every Thursday throughout the fantasy football and NFL season. Look for more info as we get closer to more drafts next week. Keep up the great work, and we'll get folks over to RotoWire online and be with you all season long.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Luke. Luke Hoover joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We are going to wrap things up and remind you tomorrow Stu Pospisil will join us from the Omaha World Herald, first Friday of the high school football season. We'll also talk with one of the top Cowboys coming in for the Oregon Trails Rodeo in Hastings over the weekend. A little more Big Ten talk tomorrow, and we'll be a week away from the start of the Husker football season.
It's hitting. We're here. I mean, there's volleyball this weekend. There's football this weekend, high school-wise, college volleyball. I mean, it's here, it's upon us, and it's kind of awesome to have it back. And there's a great crowd here. Holy cow.
Yeah.
They better bring in another shipment to Runza's. I'm just saying. since we're at the back of the line. Hey, priorities.
We want to thank our guest today, Mark McLaughlin, the head football coach at Gibbon, Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook for joining us on the show today, and of course, Luke Hoover in our fantasy football segment brought to you by Fanatics in downtown Kearney. It's the UNK Health and Sports Center. Come on out for our Loper Lunch. We will see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game. Hey.